We've been following this story pretty closely. That's the Russia-Ukraine situation. And to be honest with you, I don't know if what happened this weekend plays into that in any way other than I think it's being used as a propaganda tool already in Russia, but I'm not sure. We'll find out. But here's the Coles notes. Four suspects in the Russia concert hall attack that took place on Friday night appeared in court late last night, all of them charged with terrorism. Seven more have been detained on suspicion of involvement in the incident. More than 130 people were killed. These men are accused of opening fire on concert goers at Crocus City Hall on Friday night. Now, the Islamic State claimed responsibility, but in a televised address, Vladimir Putin said they didn't capture these attackers immediately. They sort of let them flee or track them as they fled and then arrested them as they were trying to get back to Ukraine. So, any truth to that? If so, how do we break this all down? For some help, we reached out to Orl Braun, who is a professor of international relations and political science at the University of Toronto and at the Center Associate for Russian and Eurasian Studies at Harvard University. Orl, thanks so much. We appreciate your time again, as always, today, sir.
Thank you.
This attack, there were warnings of imminent attacks. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, both the United States and Canada warning their citizens to avoid large gatherings, indeed concerts. So someone saw this coming, right?
They should have, but as it often happens in intelligence failures, it's not that there was not enough warning or that there was no information, but it was rather the interpretation of that information. And clearly, the Putin administration was wary to rely on Western intelligence. They were arrogant about their own capabilities. They would not admit to any invulnerability. And we could see this in the way they have reacted to what is really a horrific event. I mean, the murder of innocent people, 137, is just horrific. But unfortunately, what we also see Vladimir Putin is to try to take advantage of the situation by trying, at least by innuendo or by implication, to blame Ukraine, and there's no evidence for that.
Okay, when we talk about, the Islamic State claimed responsibility right away. What do we know about Islamic State and their operations, their activities in Russia? Are they active in Russia, Oral?
This is ISIS-K, which is in Afghanistan, where Russia had a history, and there are different kind of branches. We have Palestinian Islamic Jihad and others, and so they're all very dangerous, incredibly vicious kind of units that believe that killing is justified, that there are no innocent enemies. And they are active in various parts of the world. It was thought that ISIS in Syria, that ISIS in Afghanistan was largely destroyed. But it is like a virus that in certain circumstances, it can re-emerge. And there has to be constant alertness to it. And that's the sad reality of terrorism in general, but particularly ISIS-style terrorism in particular, that we can never let our guard down. And in the case of Russia, they obviously let their guard down. Moscow is one of the most heavily controlled surveillance rich city. And this is why I think in many ways Vladimir Putin has to try to shift blame away, because people invariably will ask the question, why did his intelligence services fail? If he is such a powerful leader, if he is so completely in command, why was he not able to prevent this? So he is trying to somehow hint that this must be something to do with Ukraine, that Ukraine sides to the West, that this is the collective West, and consequently, this is part of Russia's fight for survival. I do not think that in the longer term, at least, this will be very, very credible. It tells us that Vladimir Putin is much more vulnerable. It also tells us how completely cynical he is, how he is so focused on his personal power than really doing what is right for the Russian people.
What's the aim of Islamic State in Russia? Does it go back to the time that Russia was in Afghanistan? Is it, or are they trying to accomplish something?
These are nihilistic organizations in many ways.
Okay.
And it is their belief that the more killing they can do, the more outrageous they can be, the closer they get to their theological goal of this wonderful afterlife by destroying the enemies, that they can punish Russia not only for what happened in Afghanistan, but Russia is supporting the Bashar Assad regime in many ways, together with Iran. It saved that regime, and that regime has been crushing or trying to crush ISIS, the local branch in Syria. So there are these multiple goals, and it is also the general goal to send the message that the West is vulnerable. Even if Russia is not directly the West, it is white, it is not Islamic, that the Christian West, the Jewish West, all eventually will be destroyed by this pure version or distortion, one would say, of Islam that ISIS-K and various terrorist groups are promoting. And this is why, unfortunately, as difficult as it is, these are not groups that one can negotiate with. They cannot simply be contained in the normal sense of the word. We have little choice but to try to either eradicate them or reduce them to such a level that they become ineffective. And clearly, in the case of ISIS-K, this has not occurred, that they had the capability, were able to get into Moscow. But obviously, there's intelligence about them because Canada, as you mentioned, as the United States, warned Russia about something impending. So it means that these groups are being monitored. And so if we could better cooperate, I think that might make the fight against this very dangerous form of extremism so much more effective. But Russia itself has become a rogue state, which refuses to cooperate with what it calls the collective West.
Does this have any impact on the situation with Ukraine? Does this change that in any way, either internally, externally? Does it have any impact on what's going on in Ukraine at all?
Well, the allegations that these people were trying to flee, the terrorists were trying to flee towards Ukraine, which is both meaningless at one level, but also provocative. As the Ukrainians rightly extremely concerned, because Vladimir Putin is always looking for some kind of excuse, no matter how little credibility that explanation might have, to inflict more pain on Ukraine. He has not given up on his goal of destroying Ukraine. And Ukraine as an independent state, of destroying the government of Ukraine, has not been able to do that strategically. He has won some tactical victory, but at an extraordinarily high cost. He can't really move forward just using Russian forces. He can't afford to pull back because that would be too humiliating. So somehow he's counting on relentless pressure, relentless killings of Ukrainians, and most importantly, is counting on a lack of patience and endurance on the part of the West to support Ukraine in its resistance to Russian aggression. And there's an irony in all this because here Russia is attacked by ISIS, and yet Russia is supporting Hamas, which is a terrorist organization, and Hamas is affiliated in an associate way with Palestinian Islamic Jihad, which is a kind of ISIS-like organization.
So
there's a tremendous amount of irony in how opportunistic and in many ways how short-sighted the Putin regime is. But this is what happens when a regime cares only about its own immediate power, not really about the people that they're supposed to help and they're supposed to govern.
Oral, thank you so much for your insight. As always, we appreciate it, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you.